Amen. Bob, if you come down the middle aisle here as well, or okay. One of you, there you go. Thank you. Bless you guys. Appreciate it. There's a bunch there. I know to handle those things, but we'll provide some sanitizer for you guys. How's that? Pass those sanitizing hand wipes around there, Brother John. Thanks. We're going to change things up just a little bit. The message that's printed in the bulletin is not going to be the message that I'm going to preach today. The Lord directed me to preach something else. And as well, I know the Lord has been working in many of your hearts, many of your lives over the past weeks. And I'm going to do a shorter message than usual. And afterwards, I'd like to have opportunity for some testimonies for what God has been doing in your life. It's so important that we share that with one another. And so I'll ask if we could get a couple of runners with the wireless mics after the message and share in what the Lord has been doing in your life. The Word says that we should share the good things with the teacher. So if you're nervous, then just take that as a challenge from the teacher. Share the good things that God is doing in your life and give Him glory and praise. Testify to what He's doing. But I do invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a simple passage that the Lord directed me to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 7 through 10 together. And I believe we have that passage there, so we'll read it together as you're seated. It's okay. Let's read together. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. I don't know about you, but I get very aggravated when things don't work right. You know, whatever it might be, the computer, you know, it just gets stuck and you see the little thing twirling, you know, twirling, 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 and it just won't go. Or your car, you know, you go out to the car and it won't start. Or you're driving along and it breaks down and it just doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It's very aggravating, isn't it? And that's just, you know, just a couple of minor things. When things at work don't go right, and things in your family are not going right, and people are not working right, doing the right thing. Very frustrating for us. I had a Sebring convertible last year, Chrysler Sebring convertible, and I know some of you, I want to say before you do, yeah, it's a Chrysler, I know. And I had it for quite a while, but then I sold it. But in preparation for selling it, you get it Merrill inspected, and this car, I believe it was demon-possessed or something. Because we put the car in the shop, and they would fix the things they need fixed, and it would come out, and be like the next day, something would go wrong. And it was just time and time again. And, you know, the engine light, the check engine light pops on, and it's, you know, this sensor. And you know, all of a sudden, this part needs to be replaced. And just, I mean, it was comical. It was going, I was so aggravated. And you know, then I got a buyer. Got it fixed. And thankfully, the check engine light was staying off, and everything seemed to be working fine. And so this person bought it. And I called the buyer in a couple days to check on it. Of course, that was my mistake. But, you know, even though I sell them as is, you know, your reputation is important, and I want things to be done right. Anyway, and it always you know, it's difficult. So I said, hey, how's everything going? And I expected them to say, hey, it's great and everything. He said, the check engine light came back on. I'm like, ah! I said, bring it back, you know, and we put it in the shop. And sure enough, there was another component that needed replaced. And we got the light cleared, and I haven't heard from the owner, so I'm assuming everything's good. Whew. I'm assuming so. And I think they would have called me if it wasn't. Frustrating. You know, those are simple things that are very frustrating. Let me ask you this, though. Do you ever feel like the Lord gets frustrated with you? Now, that's a pejorative question. Because we surely get frustrated with ourselves, you know? We don't work the way we're supposed to. That's that Romans 7 problem that Paul talks about. You know, the things that I want to do, I don't do them. And the things that I hate, these things I do. What a wretched man I am, says Paul. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus has rescued us from this. And you know, in the middle of that kind of frustration with yourself, you might feel like, the Lord's done with me. He's just got to be done with us. But as we read here in this passage, it tells us we have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. What does that mean? What does it mean to have this treasure in us? Well, the treasure, as we read right there in the verses previous to this, is this treasure is the truth that Paul has been preaching and challenges us to preach and share it. This treasure is the light of Christ that shines on us and it dispels the darkness out of us. It's the light of the glory of the gospel in the face of Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's the light and the truth of Christ. And he says this treasure, this gospel, this good news, Jesus Christ himself is living in us. We have this treasure, but we have it in jars of clay. What does that mean? It means that we are vessels that are fragile. Clay is a substance that has a lot of imperfections in it. And we're like that. We have a lot of imperfections. Easily broken. Cracks all in us. And you know how it is with an object that's made of clay that you really like it, you know, and it cracks. What do you do? Glue it back together and you're like, oh, I can't throw this out. This is of great value, good memories, and this was my mother's, my grandmother's, whatever it might be. We don't throw things out. We glue it back together. We fix it. Well, you know what? The Lord is fixing us. The Lord is working with us. I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter 18, where Jeremiah uses a illustration. He says, I went down to the potter's house and I watched him work the wheel. And he says he took this lump of clay and he worked it on the potter's wheel. And as he worked it and tried to make a beautiful object out of it, it says, unfortunately, the pottery became marred. The clay became marred in the potter's hand. And so, it says that the potter took that lump of clay and threw it in the trash, right? No. That's not what the Lord does. He says, no, he took it and he squished it up again. I'm paraphrasing. It's Tom's version. He squished it up again and he put it back down on the potter's wheel. And he began to work it again. It's a picture of us. It's a picture of you and me. You see, we're clay. We're just clay in the potter's hand. But he is working us. And yes, when he finds that imperfection, yes, when he finds that hard lump in us, then he has to work on that one. And sometimes we really get marred and he has to smash it down and start again. And so that's what it means to be a jar of clay. We're fragile. You know, we like to portray to other people that we're strong, you know. We've got it together, you know. No problems for me. Everything's fine. Put on the church face. Oh, yes, praise God. Just lost my job. My cat died. My dog died. Car blew up. But praise God, everything's fine. And we're like that. We just, somehow or another, we don't want to be transparent with each other because we think, oh, gosh, I can't, you know, if they really knew what I was like. They really knew what I was like. Well, first of all, the Lord does really know what you and I are like. He really does. He knows everything about us. You can't hide anything from Him. Nothing is hidden from His sight, Hebrews tells us. Nothing is hidden from His sight. He sees us as we are, as we truly are. See, and that's, I don't know about you, that might scare you a little bit, and it certainly scared me when I first understood that, but now it's really helped me. See, I don't have to be fake with God. I don't have to pray fake prayers. I don't have to bargain with God, you know, try to twist His arm to do things for me. It doesn't work that way. He knows us, and therefore He wants us to deal with Him as we truly are, and He wants to deal with us in that same way. You see, He's already dealt with our sin problem. He's already dealt with it. And to think sometimes as Christians, we're still struggling with the sin problem. We're like, oh, I failed, and I the Lord's just done with me. I don't know how He can stand me. I don't know how He can, I can't even stand myself. How can He put up with me? I've failed again. Or I'm not doing what I should be doing. I know it. I'm not doing what I should be doing. And we're like, well, Lord, can't you just fix us? Can't you just, you know, wave your hand over us and fix us and turn us into that which you want us to be? Can't you just do that, Lord? I wish He did. I wish He could and would, but He chooses not to. He chooses not to. No, we just read in verse 8, it says to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, He wants to receive the glory from anything good in our lives. Anything good in us comes from the light, the truth of Jesus Christ living in us. You see, this is something we have to come to. Because some of us are here today and you think, hey, you know, I'm a pretty successful person. You know, I've done this and, you know, made it pretty well successfully, financially, you know, things are good. Well, guess what? Where do you think that came from? Where do you think that ability came from? Where do you think that gift came from? It didn't just, you know, happen to you along the plane of evolution. No, God birthed that in you. He gave you that gift. He poured into you His Spirit and gave you that gift. And so anything that you have that is good comes from the Lord. And you see, if you're a believer in Christ, it becomes energized. It becomes spiritual through the Holy Spirit living in you. Otherwise, you're just living for yourself. You're just living for yourself and doing the things that you're doing for yourself. Patting yourself on the back. Boy, I'm a pretty great person. Look what I've done. Look what I can do. But you see, God doesn't want that. He wants to receive the glory too. Let me tell you, if you're at that point in your life and you're thinking that you got it under control, things are good, it's all going well, we got a God that likes to mess with you. You know what I'm talking about. You might think that, you know, why is God doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? No, it's not that way. He loves you and He loves me and He's doing these things to deal with the imperfections, to deal with the selfishness, self-centeredness, self-focusedness. He's doing this to break those things in me that need to be broken. You see, because we're jars of clay. You see, He understands, first of all, what we are. He understands what we are, truly are. Let me give you a scripture here from Psalm 103. First from Psalm 103. Verses 13 and 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. It's very hard for dust, and you know that's really what clay is made up of, the dust of the earth and a little water, and you mix it together and you got clay. That's what the Lord did. He mixed up some dust with some water, and he blew into it the breath of life, and boy, there we are. We're clay. We're dust. He knows, he remembers that we're just dust. Secondly, the second reason I can assure you that Jesus knows all about you and me, he understands and remembers what we truly are, is because Jesus came, the Son of God, and he put on flesh, put on skin. And he lived among us in this world. You might say, oh, well, you know, but he's the Son of God. Yeah, yes, he was the Son of God, but he was fully God, but fully man. He was fully man. He dealt with all the frustrations and temptations of life that you and I deal with. You might say, oh, Jesus doesn't understand what it's like to live in this modern world. You know, he didn't have to deal with all these cell phones and texting and, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all that. Jesus didn't have to deal with that. No, not necessarily the technological problems. But, you know, people are people, and they've been that way for thousands of years. And Jesus had to deal with people. In fact, he had to deal with his family and his family who didn't believe in him. In fact, we're told in one instance that his family comes to take charge of Jesus because they said, Jesus, you done lost your mind. How'd you feel about that? Your family comes to gather you because you've lost your mind. And you're like, man, I'm just trying to serve the Lord. I'm just trying to serve the Lord. And Jesus understands the frustrations of life. He truly, truly does. I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of encouragement. Because he dealt with life, yet he was without sin. I was reading the other day, and Jesus is in the midst of teaching, and some of the teachers of the law and some of the Pharisees gather around him, and they're watching him because it's the Sabbath, and they're watching him because they want to make sure that he doesn't break the law on the Sabbath. Hey, it's all about rules and regulations, baby. That's what life's about. Rules and regulations. And there's a man with a withered hand there, crippled. And he asks, I love this. He tells him, stand up. Stand up in front of all this religious people. And he asks them a question. He says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or not? And they won't answer him. They will not answer him. And it says, watch this, you still with me? Say amen. He says this, he says, it looked at them with anger because of their stubborn hearts. And he says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he healed the man's hand. And they're like, he just broke the Sabbath. He just broke the rules. I mean, completely missed it. Completely missed that the King, the Son of God, was there to bring healing to a man who'd been bound up for years, and he is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus understands. He endures frustration of life that we can't even begin to imagine, yet was without sin. And so I was looking at that, and I was like, wow, Lord, you got angry. Getting angry is not a sin. Did you understand that? It's, you know, getting angry is an emotional response when you see something's been done wrong. You know, it's violated somebody's rights, your rights, it's hurt somebody, and you get angry. That's not a sin. Tells us in Ephesians 4, he says, in your anger, do not sin. And deal with your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because we know where anger leads. James tells us that the anger of man does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So anger in itself is an emotion, but we have to control that. But there are times when we get angry. We get angry with God. We get angry with other people. We get angry with our spouse, children, ourselves. You ever get angry with yourself? I mean, really angry, like, I am such an idiot. Ugh. Where's a 2x4? I'd like to smack myself. But even that does not help us. It really doesn't. Self-deprecation, self-punishment, it doesn't do anything for us. It might make you feel good for, you know, a little bit. And if you need help, you know, let me know. I'll smack you for it. Just kidding. Making sure you're awake. But the Lord has a way of dealing with us. Recently, I got very frustrated with a person. It's none of you here, so don't think, oh, Pastor Tom's upset with me. No. It's not, no one here. I got very frustrated with this person. They just being a real knucklehead for Jesus. Just being an idiot. Not representing Christ the way they should. Living the way they should. I was so frustrated with this person. And you know, I just said, I'm done with them. I am done with this person. And when I said that, the Lord just kind of whispered to me, he said, and are you any different? I was like, oh. You know, because I might say, well, yeah, Lord, I'm a little different. And I kind of was thinking that. I'm a little different, Lord. Yeah. And he said, okay, well, and who is that due to? It's due to him. You see, our flesh, we want to immediately start patting ourselves on the back. Oh, yes, yeah, we're better than that. We're better than that person. You know, we don't do that. Well, you've already allowed spiritual pride in. And I think the Lord hates that even more. It's interesting that of all the sins Jesus dealt with, he was most furious on people who had spiritual pride, who thought they were better than other people, who looked down on others, would not have mercy and grace upon them. These are the things that Jesus got very upset about and really blasted them. And in that moment, I felt like that. Like, You, Lord, are the one that I'm owe all this to. Anything that is the good of me, it's from Jesus in me, this treasure. Paul expresses it a little further. We're moving on. In verse 8, he says, we are hard pressed at every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Verse 9, we are persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Anybody relate? I mean, sometimes you feel like you're in the meat grinder. Sometimes you feel like, you know, the walls are just pressing in on you. Everything's caving in on you. And you're like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? What are you doing? What's going on? I don't get it. But the reason Paul can say we're broken, we're perplexed, but we're not crushed, we're not in despair, we're not abandoned, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. You know why? Because he has this treasure in a jar of clay, his life. And he knows that no matter what happens, the Lord's going to be with him. The Lord's going to see him through it. You see, and he goes on to say, not that God just wants to make us suffer. That's not the point. No, he says in verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Wow. What does that mean? You see, he wants the life of Jesus to be revealed in us. The all-surpassing power. Listen, he can take a person like you and me, a broken vessel like you and me, and he can use us. First, we begin to change, little by little. I wish it was faster. I wish it was overnight, but it's not. Little by little, he changes us. I was talking with someone the other day who's a fairly new believer, and they said, Pastor, my desires are actually starting to change. Because you see, this person, his background, man, he was a drinker, he was a brawler, he was a partier. He was like, man, you know, I used to want to do those things, and I've really struggled a long time with that. He said, but I'm actually, I don't want to do those things anymore. I said, that is the grace of the Lord working in you. That's the grace of the Lord, amen? He transforms us. And you see then, He takes us and He begins to use us to encourage others. You see, because when I'm open and I'm transparent, and you see, hey, folks, I am what I am. I'm a broken vessel. Please don't think that I'm some spiritual giant and that I've got it all together and that I sit around all day and read the Bible and pray all day long and sing Kumbaya. And, you know, it's just not reality. That's just not true. I am a broken vessel. I'm a broken person. Just like you. I love that song. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You see, when the life of Jesus is revealed in you and me, when this treasure comes out, then He gets the glory. He gets the glory. So, if you're feeling broken today, I need to tell you that's a good thing. It's a good thing. If you're feeling broken, if you feel like, Lord, I just don't get it. There's those that didn't think they were broken that Jesus didn't have any time for them. But if you're broken, I can guarantee you one thing. God is working in your life. And to whatever extent you will open up to Him and to other people will be the extent that He can heal you, transform you, work in you, and work through you to others. He can do it. He is doing it. I know He's doing it in many of you. So, take heart. Don't be discouraged thinking that God's done with you. Don't be discouraged thinking that God is tired of you. God has given up on you. He's frustrated with you. He's not. He loves you. And anything that needed to be dealt with was dealt with Christ. And now He deals with you and me in love. Now, it doesn't mean there's not chastisement at times. Oh, yes. There's chastisement when we're not walking the right way. We're not doing the right thing. There is chastisement, but it's always out of love. Always out of desire for restoration. So take heart. Press on. You see, it's not called a fight for no reason. Christian life is never talked about as a sprint. It's talked about as a race, but it's a marathon. And so we are to keep on running. Keep on fighting. Keep on pressing on. Amen? Keep on pressing on. Keep fighting. Keep reading His Word. Keep seeking Him. The Lord says that you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes I don't even know what that means. Lord, I want to seek You, and I begin to read Your Word, and Lord, I really want to know You. And the Lord takes it from there. The Lord takes it from there. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So I hope you're encouraged this morning. I hope that you are here and you might say, Pastor, I feel broken. But my challenge to you and to me is you have this treasure, the light, the glory of Christ, the truth of Christ in a broken pot. And you know what? He loves you just like you are. And I've said it before, He even likes us. Most of us. No, He likes all of us. He really does. He doesn't like the sin that we do, but He does. He loves us. Amen? He loves us. Well, I hope that some of you are courageous enough to share what God is doing in your life. We've had some awesome services over this past few weeks. Many have come to Christ. And so I'm going to ask my ushers to spread out and give opportunity for people to share what God's doing in your life. Who would like to go first? I know it's always the...